Hello, and welcome to the Volleyball Coaches Corner podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ashley Shrum, physical therapist, volleyball movement specialist, and owner of Calibrated Physical Therapy and Calibrated Volleyball Coaches. This is the sixth episode of season two, which focuses on coach-parent dynamics and what life is like when you coach your own child. Have you ever wanted to coach your own child? My guest today has coached all five of her kids in sports. She shares how to be the best parent as a coach and as a spectator, how to foster a good dynamic with the parents of your team, and how to alter your dynamic based on the relationship you have with each of your children when you coach them. Without further ado, let's dive in.
Hi, I'm Coach Astrid, and I've been coaching club for a little over 10 years for volleyball. I coached rec soccer for probably close to 15 years before that, and I coach for a local high school at the modified level this year. I've done varsity and modified previously in other districts. And so that's a little about my history.
And how many of your children did you coach, Coach Astrid?
I have five kids, and I have coached all of them at some point in their life. I started coaching with my oldest when he was five on rec soccer. And I kind of got sucked in with that old, we're short on coaches. If we don't have enough, we may not be able to run the league trope. So I ended up starting with him. And then as we had more kids, they all played the rec soccer. And so I would coach their teams because they wouldn't conflict schedules if I was coaching. So I was able to pick and choose our practice times. And so most of them played very little in the fours and fives age groups, some of them in various points up until the 12s, when most of them kind of decided on other sports. I started coaching volleyball with my second child when she was seventh grade. She started in with the school team, and then she started on a club team, actually it was when she was in eighth grade. And that second year, we started helping out with conditioning and coaching a team because the girls were getting a lot of repetitive use injuries and things like that that they shouldn't get at U13. So then my third and fourth daughter also started playing volleyball, and I coached them. And my fifth did soccer. And when he decided he was done playing soccer at about seven, I was done too. So then just stuck with volleyball from that point on.
Nice. You have a lot of experience coaching, and you'll have a good perspective because you've not only coached volleyball, but you've coached soccer. So you have two, I think it's probably pretty similar when it comes to the parent coach dynamic that's there. But if it's not, and some of these questions, that'd be kind of nice maybe too, if you can share your perspective on that. So we're going to jump into it. I want to know the nitty gritty, right? So what are the three things that parents do the most that just irritate you as a coach?
That one, it's really kind of depends on individual parents. You always have the parent who's the overhelper, which, you know, they want to help, but really they want to help so that they can dictate to you what they want done and how they want it done. And, you know, so I'm glad to have parents help whenever possible, especially with club and things like that, but only if they're willing to, I'm going to give you this project and they're going to run with it. You know, like if you want to dictate how fundraising should be done, well, I'm going to give it to you and you do it, you know, but they're the ones who they want to start all the projects, but they don't want to carry through. Those drive me crazy. And then you also have the parent who wants to talk about their kid and their playing time, but really they want to talk about everybody else and compare their kid to everybody else. So that one can be tough. Let me see, the third type is the get in and get out fast. We're going to show up at the last possible minute to any and every game, and we are going to be the first ones out the door, whether everybody's ready to go or not. They're the one that inevitably you're at a tournament and you have to call them back because they left before the decision on the playoffs kind of thing. So those would probably be my three pet peeves.
Yeah, you've got an archetype. They're kind of like, you've got the person that's overly committed but never finishes, the gossiper.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then the non-committed, right? In, yep. Out, boom, boom. That's your three. So I always like to flip it, right? Like, those are kind of negative things. Let's talk. Mm-hmm. What about three things that parents do, or maybe even three experiences that you've had that have been just super positive or helpful for you that you're like, oh, I wish that would just repeat every season. Something like that would be awesome.
I like to call them the Uber moms. I love the Uber moms. They're there. They're happy to see the kids play. They're going to show up and, you know, organize the lunch for everybody. We had a group, a U13, that their first year together playing, they won regionals. So the team decided, let's try going to nationals for USAD. It was awesome. We had such a wonderful group, and the parents just were so happy to try and do as much as they could to make sure that everybody had a great time. So one of our moms coordinated rental cars for the team. And she said she organized everybody's, who's going to get them, who's driving. We had another one who organized the shuttle bus to take everybody to the airport. Another mom went to AAA and she organized flights for the family. Like, all of us, she arranged, everybody paid it, but she got it all set up. So those are the types of parents that I absolutely loved. And that was such a wonderful group that after coaching, it was maybe my second or third year of coaching volleyball. And I was like, I'm never going to have this again. I peaked. But, you know, they were there simply to let their kids play. And they were happy to make sure that everybody had a great experience. And that was the kind of parent that I will forever, ever love to have.
Yeah, that's awesome. Like, that's an organized group of people who communicate together, right? It seemed like in that group, they all must have respected each other in some way to make that a lot more possible. So that was early on in your coaching career, right? So what have you done? This is kind of an off the cuff question, one I'm not going to prepare you for, but what have you done in your next following seasons to try to get that same cohesiveness between the parents to help your season run a little bit more kind of flawlessly, right? Like,
well, I've tried to create good communication with everybody and with the parents. So we'll use, you know, one of those club organizational ones. You know, I don't want to promote any particular one. There's a lot of them out there. But we put in the roster. We start a text chat. So I try and, you know, promote communicating in there when we go to tournaments. We try and do the away tournaments. So if we have an overnight, a team dinner, you know, and try and say, you know, we're going to order pizza or bring your takeout and join us. And so then that way, right away, early on in the beginning of the season, we try and break the ice so that the parents are friendly with each other and get along well. I find they're less likely to speak badly about other players, you know, because they feel a connectedness to the group as well. So I try and let them get a little bit of bonding also and get to know the kids too. So like when we do team dinners, we try and bring the parents in, and it's not just the girls sometimes. Sometimes it is, sometimes it's the family, because that makes a difference in how everybody treats each other.
That's what a great idea. You're the first person I've talked to right now that says that they include parents in the team dinners and like team get-togethers to try to create a whole team cohesiveness, because even though they're not on the court, even though they're not in practice, you're not coaching them practicing, they are a huge part of the team, which is why I think this is an interesting topic, right? The coach-parent dynamic, because now the parent is entrusting you as a coach to be a role model and a mentor and a leader for their child, the most important thing in their life, which... Yeah. It's kind of cool that you include them in that. That's fascinating. I love that.
Well, there's the aspect too where, you know, when the parents want something out of sports for their kids, they don't always think they want the same thing, or they think they want the same thing and the kids may not want the same thing from the experience that the parents do. You know, the parents may want them to learn leadership, or they may want them to get scholarships, or that, you know, any number of things, where the kids may just want to be there to be social. They may want to play the game because they love the game. And so when the parents get to see the girls interacting as girls and not as teammates and competitors, it changes how they view each other and how they view those kids, you know. And so then that way, that competitive streak in parents that sometimes comes out, it changes a little bit. So they're now more understanding, because they go, oh, well, so-and-so, you know, their dad's been sick and this, that, and the other. And they know more about the person as a whole and not just as that girl who's getting more playing time than my kid, you know.
I love that. I love that so much. So let me ask you this, Astrid. Have you been the only person, the only coach to interact with your girls who play volleyball, or have they been coached by other people as well?
No, they have been coached by other people. With my older daughter, the one that I was first coaching, I coached her U14s year. And then for she and I, personality-wise, she's one of those who I have to hear it from the expert type of kids. You know, she had a cough, she had a cold, you know, rest and fluids, etc. Or I sprained my ankle, ice and ibuprofen. She didn't believe it unless she heard it from the doctor. Didn't matter if I said it, you know, same thing with just about everything. So with her and our relationship, it would be better for her to be coached by somebody else. And then if she had questions, I would, you know, give her feedback. But I've tried very careful to stay out of her games after that. So U15 and up, she pretty much directed where she wanted to go. And I remember she came home from a varsity practice frustrated. It was probably the first time in years she asked me any advice about playing. And she was like, he wants me to hit harder. And I said, well, what's your coach say? He's like, hit it harder. And I was like, sweetie, you gotta swing your arm faster. That'll make you hit harder. And she's like, well, why doesn't he just say that? I was like, well, not everybody says things the same way. And that was probably the last time she asked me my advice until she was getting ready to go to college and was deciding on whether or not to play. And so I only coached her up till she was about 15, and that was it. My third child, I coached her on and off from 11 till 18. And so she ran the gamut. So I'm all for other coaches if they can get a worthwhile experience from it. And most experiences, good or bad, there's something to take from it. You know, her 14th year, she wasn't getting a lot from her practices and a lot of instruction. And so she turned and said, hey, I'm getting frustrated. What do I do? And I said, well, you can come to my practices too. I was coaching in the same club she was playing. So she would come to my practices and she would do a totally different position than what she was doing for her club team, because that's what we needed her to do in my practices. But she needed it for school, because school wanted her to play that position. So she learned to seek out stuff from that. And she learned to advocate for herself a little bit more, because she would talk about how frustrated she was. And we'd say, well, go back and talk to your coach and ask this or ask that. And she would go have the conversations. And, you know, the next year she had a different coach again. And he was a great coach and she really liked him. And she had issues with the dynamics of the players on the team became the issues, you know, at the U15 age group, there's a lot of the drama. So again, she would kind of come into my practices, and I had an U18s team that year. And so she would come in with them, and they were the big sisters giving her feedback. The next year we switched clubs and she played with somebody else that we knew. And then 17's year, I coached her team. In 18's year, we gave her another coach through our club. And, you know, she started assisting during her 17's year in my club. And so her dynamic with me was very different. You know, she was very much open to everything and anything feedback-wise. But I always wait for them to ask me, because you don't want to just come in and be like, oh, you're not doing this right. You know, you want to let them address the conversation. And then my fourth child, she's U15s this year. And so she started out with a totally different coach to start, because she was the kid who was like, I hate volleyball, I hate it, I hate it, I don't want to play it. And my friend was coaching the 12s, and we were at the tryouts for her older sister. And she was the big soccer player, did not want to, she was doing club soccer at the time, did not want to touch volleyball. And my friend who was coaching for a local university at the time and coming and doing club, she kept going, look at this kid. You know, she'd grab her arm. She's like, look how long her arms are. You know, and my daughter came up. She's like, why does she keep doing this? Why is she saying this? And I was like, well, she wants you to play volleyball on her team. And she goes, oh, I'll play for her. Of course. So I said, all right. So she started playing with her. And so we did, when she stopped coaching at that club, and I started my club, then she switched over. And so I coached with her the next year. And then the following year, I wanted her to have other coaches. And so she does. So we do branch out. But then, you know, I'm always there if there's something they don't understand. But then, like this year, I'll probably take her team again, because she's at the level where I don't know that we have a coach in our club that can quite get her where she needs to be, or push her the way she wants to be pushed, because this is a kid who's like, yeah, I want to play D1, I want to do this, that, and the other. And I'm like, okay, well.
From not wanting to play volleyball to wanting to go play D1 volleyball. She's got collegiate goals now. I love it. She fell in love, right? She fell in love with the sport, and you got to try to keep that. Well, another off-the-cuff question for you is, how do you do that separation between coach and mom? Like, what's your strategy for that? Because there's a line usually, right? Like, when you have to kind of take the coach's hat off and be mom. So what's your strategy? Could you share that with us?
It's kind of a situation by situation. There are times where, you know, they'll come back frustrated and angry, and you kind of have to sit there and think, you know, if you are coaching and it's a team issue, then that becomes harder. And it's, you know, is this I'm just venting about my teammates, or is this a legitimate concern? Generally, I just let them talk as much as possible. And then while they're talking, whatever the issue is kind of comes out, and then I can figure out, okay, well, is this a mom needs to say, whatever it is you want, I'm going to back you up? Or is this going to be, look, this is the way things are, and sometimes you just have to learn how to live with this decision, kind of thing. You know, mom and coach are not that different. It's in many ways. I treat my players a lot like they're my kids, I think. So, you know, they come to me with questions and problems, and I'm going to attack it kind of the same way I do with my kids. What is it they want from the situation? And then I figure out how to fix it or go from there if I can.
Do you have time? Hello? Sorry. Go ahead. Do you have times in like when we're in the gym or on the court, like I'm coach, or is it like once we get outside of the gym, then I can be coach or mom, you let me know. But in the gym, I'm always coach, especially when you're around the other players in the team. Or is it like, no, my girls still say, hey, mom, when I'm in practice kind of deal?
I try and have them, you know, when we're in practice, I'm coach, you know, and it's a little bit harder for my younger daughter to separate that. Than the older daughters to do. She still will be on the court and be like, hey, mom, you know, and I'll be like, yeah, that's me. But I do try and just say, you know, when I'm on the court, when we are on the court, it's not mom, it is coach. Or there are some things, you know, if you wouldn't do this to your soccer coach, then you shouldn't do that to me. You know, that's not a mom, that's not a behavior that you would treat me that way. And just like, you know, if I wouldn't say that to you in front of somebody else, then you shouldn't do it to me. So we try and have those conversations. When they're younger, it can be a lot harder, especially when they get frustrated and upset and they come off the court and they want to cry. But I'll hug any kid if they're going to come to cry. you know, they'll get the hug. So, but that can be a little tougher.
Yeah, that's sweet though. That's real sweet. I wish I had a nice coach like that sometimes when I was growing up. I had a real hard-nosed coach.
And I had most of my coaches were. But, you know, at the same time, there's a difference between being a hard-nosed coach and being mean. You know, you can be demanding and a little tough on the girls without being mean. You know, there's a difference between saying, hey, you need to get that ball. You are perfectly capable. I want to see you work harder. I want to see you get that. And being, God, you guys suck today. You know, it's two different things. And, you know, growing up playing in sports, the coaches that I respected the most and really look back on fondly were the ones who were demanding, but also were the ones who, when you saw them off the field or off the court, were like, hey, you look like you're having a bad day. Is everything okay? Okay, how do we separate this, or how can we work through this so you can still be better? You know, those are the coaches that I always felt impacted by.
Well, let me ask you this then. As a parent, right, let's take the coach hat off, and you're just a parent in the stands watching your girls play. What are three things that other coaches have done in the past or in your experience that you're like, oh, you're driving me crazy. This is just not okay.
The coaches that yell for the sake of yelling, those ones drive me nuts. Because in a game, there's only so much adjusting a kid is going to do. If you haven't done it in practice, if you haven't discussed it ahead of time, no amount of yelling is going to suddenly make them get it, especially in a pressure situation in the game where they already feel like parents are watching, other parents are watching, they're embarrassed because their classmates are there, you know, that kind of thing. So that kind of drives me nuts, is the yelling for the sake of yelling. The yelling out terrible direction or imprecise. Like, if you want them to hit line, tell them, hit line. Don't just sit there and say, hit it where it's there, hit it over there. Or like, be more like, they'll just be like, just hit it, put it down, put it down. Well, be a little clearer. If you want them to put it down, maybe give them a clue. Because if they could see where they're supposed to hit it, they'd do it, you know? So, and it's the same with soccer too. They'd be like, you know, some of the best coaches would, you know, when the kids were coming close, they'd yell over and be like, hey, the keeper never goes left. Okay, so now the kid knows they're going to hit to the left side of the net because the keeper never seems to go left. So those are the types of things that drive me nuts, is when the coach is just yelling and imprecise. And when they come home from practice and they would just say, we spent so much time just standing around. The coach just talked and talked and talked and talked and talked. I try and make my kids multitask. So if they stop when I start talking, I'll be like, no, keep going. Unless I specifically pull you over, listen and work, because that's what you have to do in the games. You have to be able to listen to the information your teammates are telling you while you're playing. So practice is the same thing. If I'm telling you make a minor adjustment, don't just stop and stare at me. Look, so when they tell me that, oh my God, we stood around forever, that's frustrating because nobody likes that. It's not a fun way to learn. So those things drive me nuts. And then, you know, the coaches who, they know I'm a coach, so they avoid me because they are afraid that I am going to be overbearing. You know, I don't talk to coaches about my kids and how they play unless my kid has talked to them multiple times and is getting nowhere. I don't do that. So, you know, I'll see one of their coaches out and about, and you know, walk over to say hi, and it's the, oh hey, how you doing? Okay, I'm gonna go. I'm like, do I smell? What's going on? You know, they assume when they see another coach sometimes that they're about to get nails, and that's you can't be afraid of. I don't know, you can't treat parents that way just because they coach. You can't assume that they're going to be difficult.
Yeah,
those are my pet peeves.
Yeah, that would suck. And what about the other side of the coin? What about other coaches that you've interacted with, even in your own experience as a player and then as a parent and as a coach? What are some experiences that you've had, or maybe let's say like top two, three experiences or interactions you've had that you're like, I love this trait that other coaches do. This is something that I look up to and try to mimic. What are those traits?
I have a coach who I admire very much. She runs the high performance for our region in New York. And every time I see her or she works with the girls, she just has this really great calmness to her. She's very calm. She gets the girls. She's got enough of an intensity that, you know, everybody just is like, oh my God, she's terrifying, but I love her. And it's not that she's not mean. She never yells. But she also remembers every kid that she has coached. And that's something that I admire greatly, that she can, you know, she coached my daughter who's, when she was on the U15s, once or twice, and now my daughter's 22, and she still will ask about her, you know. And she never coached my younger daughter, but she's met her twice. And she'll be like, what's Little Baker doing? You know, kind of thing. And she's like, when's she going to come play for me? I don't know, you know, but then she has random girls that she'll be like, oh, so-and-so, she played for me. She's working as a PA out in Maryland. You should look her up for this or for that. And it's just like, holy cow, how do you remember and know all, you know, connect, stay connected like that? That I have always found an amazing thing. But her calmness while she's coaching and her knowledge is huge. Let's see, another trait that I really admire, my daughter's 15s coach, you know, he's a great guy. I didn't always agree with how kids were played, and that was fine. It was his team, you know, my daughter, she dealt with it, but he was always willing to let a coach or a parent sit in and watch the practice or, you know, have a conversation about the game, not necessarily about the kids. Like, I wouldn't talk with him about the kids, but I would talk to him about other things or coaching and stuff. And, you know, his willingness to discuss the game itself. Too often it feels like coaches feel like everything has to be a guarded secret and I can't tell you, you know. And so that was kind of nice. That his willingness to just, you know, come out and say, yeah, I did that. It didn't work out. I don't know why I did it, but I thought it might and it didn't, and that's okay. And now we're doing this instead. And, you know, that kind of thing was kind of nice, a little refreshing. Let's see, another thing. I would say probably my high school soccer coach. I played for him for 4 years, and he was a demanding coach, but he was also so well prepared. He really was. That stuck with me. We would have the summer workout packets, and it was like laid out like week by week, and it would ramp up. By the end of the summer, you should be doing this. And then, you know, my senior year, we went to states, and, you know, it got to the point where he was coming, you know, he was one of the art teachers. So we'd go down into the classroom and he had books and books open because he was like, you're getting to the point where I need more. And so he's researching, trying to find stuff to get us to that next level. And that was something that stuck with me, seeing the coach put the work in to stay a step ahead of the players. That was something I really admired. And I really try to keep in mind when I'm coaching.
Yeah, that's nice. Like, I like those things to look up to. I like that. Like, be calm, be cool, be collected, and be organized. And know when you need to educate yourself more, right? To be the best that you can be. I mean, those things all kind of go together too, which is kind of cool. So it's like traits that you've picked out that you really admire, they all kind of collectively come back to create this person or ideal that you're like, I like that. I do. I like that a lot. That's a good description. So I'm going to come back to a question that I'm very curious about. Okay. I have a 7 month old, and I hope and pray one day that I can get her to play volleyball, right, and fall in love with the sport like I love the sport. And if time comes, like, I'm doing this research kind of for myself and also for other people, but I started this idea selfishly because I want to know, what can I do as a parent to help other coaches that are going to coach my daughter in whatever sport succeed and really be supportive of that in the right way. And I also hope to coach my own daughter one day in volleyball, which would be amazing. And so I want to know, what are your challenges? What are your top couple of challenges that you've had coaching your own child? And I want to know something else, but I'm going to save it for the end. So those are what I want to talk to you right now, is what are the challenges? Like, what are maybe like the top two or three challenges that you've had coaching your children, all five of your children? Boys and girls are sometimes are a lot different, right? So
yeah. I think for me, one of the top challenges is trying to make sure that I'm being as objective as possible. You know, it's the parent rose-colored glasses. You know, it's trying not to be too hard on them, which I think is my inclination, is to gauge that they're maybe not as good as they are sometimes. Or, you know, trying very hard not to think they're better than they are. So that's taken a little bit of time. One of the other things too, and that happened the first year I had my older daughter on the team, is separating the immediate mom instinct from the coach. And that there was an incident, we were at a tournament where she got really upset at, like, the last point, the ball came over the net, and she kind of kicked it as it came down, and it kicked into the net kind of thing. And then she came off, and I can't even remember what it was she said, but as a mom, I was so mad. And I in front of the whole team, I said, sit your ass down. In front of a bunch of 13-year-olds. And I was like, afterwards, I was like, crap, that was not the right way to handle that at all. And so I apologize to the parents for swearing in front of their kids, you know, like, because I wouldn't want a coach to do that in front of my kid. So I took it really hard. And so, you know, all the parents were like, I had to do the same thing. And I was like, yeah, but I'm not supposed to. That's not my job to have done that. So, you know, she did end up getting benched for a game from the coaching side for the behavior, but from the mom's side, I had to learn to separate some of those things, because I wouldn't have done that to, I wouldn't have said that to another player if they hadn't been my kid. So that was a big challenge to overcome right away.
I think that would be super hard to separate that emotion, right? Because once emotion comes in, your logic just goes down. I don't care who you are. Yeah. As a person, that's how your brain functions. When you become super emotional, your ability to logic and reason just disappears. Your kind of caveman emotional side takes over, and it just comes out sometimes. So I think that would be very hard. That's what I would assume would be one of the biggest challenges before I even started this whole project for talking to all these coaches who are parents. Is how do you do that when your kid does something so frustrating that it just gets you and gets your little anger monster going? How do you handle that? Because you are in front of all their peers, and most parents that I've talked to, I seem to see, it's like that middle school, high school age, and boys and girls are very emotional during that time. Like, there's a lot of changes happening in their life. And I think each sex or each gender comes at it a little differently, but man, that can really hurt and do some damage to both of your relationships as a coach and a mom, or as a dad, and you know, that repair that you're like, oh God, how did that happen? I'm a person too. Like, I make mistakes, and how do I come about that and say that? And I think that's a really cool thing that you stopped and reflected, and it's like, okay, that was wrong. How can I fix it? This is what I'm going to do in the future. And I like that. And that you have a bar that you gauge, like, would I do that to somebody else's kid, to know is this me being mom or is this me being coach, right? Because if I wouldn't say that or do that to somebody else's kid, then I shouldn't do that to my own daughter or son right now. I really like that reflection point. That's a good check. That's a good check, right? A good check and balance of yourself. I really like that. That's really awesome, Coach Astrid. Like I took a note while you were talking. I typed up a little note. Like I take notes during all of this, like things that I really like that impact me and kind of resonate within me. So that way I too can become better. And I hope that all the listeners of this do the exact same thing, right? Because the whole goal of this podcast is to make better parents and better coaches for kids, because I want to help prevent unnecessary youth athlete injuries, right? A lot of, like you said, overuse injuries from people just being undereducated and not really knowing where to turn. I want to be that resource for people. And I think this dynamic and how coaches and parents interact is something that gets overlooked, and it really impacts. It really can impact the overall performance of a youth athlete. So I have to say thanks for that. And on my big question that I have, I think this is a surprise one, is would you recommend coaching your own child to anyone else? And yes or no, and I want to know why.
I would. Because I think that there's a bonding you get when you do activities with them. And even if it's not a sport, you know, if you teach your kid a craft and you do it together, if you teach them how to cook and you do it together, there's something really nice about having that time to share in a different way, and that instructional way. And they also see you as more than just the mom who drives them places and runs them on errands and cleans up and helps them do the laundry, or, you know, that sort of thing. It gives them a different role for you, and it's kind of nice to have that. And for me, because I would check the whole, is this a mom reaction or a coach reaction, I use that sometimes in other parts of my life where, you know, as a mom, something they're doing is driving me nuts. I'm like, if this was somebody else's kid, would I be more patient? So maybe I can turn that on this situation too, you know, because sometimes we are much more patient with other people's kids than our own. So I think it was a great learning experience for me and for them. You know, you learn boundaries a little bit more with your kids too. Like I learned with my older daughter. That coach situation wasn't great for us, but I'm really glad that we did it. And now, you know, even though I didn't coach her through high school and all of that, you know, she still asks for advice and she still comes and she sees me in a different, more than just mom role. I think it's really good to do. I would recommend it. I don't say you have to do it forever, you know, especially if it's not working for you, but it definitely is worth doing. And sometimes when they're little, it's very different than when they're in the middle school, high school.
Thank you, Coach Astrid, for coming on and sharing your time and stories with me and helping us all learn from your experiences. All right, y'all, that's our conclusion. Thank you for listening along. Go ahead and hit subscribe on whatever listening platform you're on right now. I wanted to share with you all a promotion I have for those who listen to my podcast. To all of my listeners, I am offering a 10% discount from my Bulletproof Your Team's Ankles program. It is a comprehensive guide to ankle sprain prevention, recovery, and return to sport. Use code PODCAST at checkout. The program is linked in the description.